I think what's really important to lawyers and legal departments is that our clients really expect diversity. I think one of the statistics is the Minority Corporate Counsel Association's 2017 survey said that 132 of the Fortune 500 companies were led by female in-house counsel. And as it turns out, I have two female in-house counsel right beside me. So I'm going to let them talk a little bit about their own organizations and where they and you know what their organization diversity looks like and what they're doing at their own firms around the diversity issue. Tamara.
Am I first?
Okay. You are.
Well, so thank you all for having me. I don't know, you probably saw in the program Stacey Maris, who is my boss, who could not be here. She's our corporate secretary. I report to her. I'm a vice president, associate general counsel, and of relevance, I suppose, to this crowd is that I support our chief diversity officer. My team provides legal support, among other things, for all of the diversity and inclusion initiatives across the company. So to say this is something near and dear to my heart, to our heart, would be an understatement. So we, you know, in our legal department, in addition to what we do to hire diverse attorneys, we have a focus there. But when we deal with our outside counsel, we have an expectation, a very high expectation, that those firms bring diverse teams to the table as well. So our approach is rooted in our preferred counsel program. There may be some PCP firms in the room. We have 50 firms on a list that we deal with primarily. 25 of those are our traditional majority firms, but the remaining 25 are MBE firms, so minority and women-owned firms. And it is our expectation that that is where our lawyers go, depending on the skill, depending on what they need to staff their cases and find lawyers. And even for those majority firms, it is our expectation, a very high expectation, that those firms bring diverse teams to the table. And I can tell you just a point of personal experience. As I said, I report to Stacey. She's a woman. Obviously, I'm a woman. And so you would be surprised at the amount of times that firms come to meet us to pitch business, right? Because you're on the list. That gets you in the door, but it doesn't get you the business. So you'd be surprised at the number of times firms come to us to meet without matters, and they bring a team of all men, which Stacey and myself will immediately call out at the meeting in the room. The other things that firms like to do, and I may be getting ahead because this may be a tip, but I'll say it anyway, is they bring a diverse team, but the woman or the person of color is sitting in the corner. And I like to do what I will call, what we'll call amplification later. But when that happens, I always ask that woman or that person of color for their opinion. And I always make sure to say, I'm happy to see you here. I'll be looking forward to working with you, because that sends a signal to the firm, as well as the sometimes, most of the time, not always, junior person, that I expect them to be part of the team, that I see they're in the room and that I've been in their shoes, so I know what it's like to be window dressing, and it's not going to happen on my watch.
That's awesome. Isabella.
Yes, so good afternoon, everybody. You know, it took me some persuading myself to come to sit on this panel, and that may be shocking. I know Samantha's a little bit surprised by that, but I sometimes find that these programs seem to drive certain outcomes without necessarily considering enough what is it that women are choosing to do. And sometimes in that process, it seems to be that there's certain injustices created among other groups that create for awkward and tense situations. But I sort of talked to my constituents, namely my husband and daughter, and I said, what do you all think? I also asked for the voice of the Uber driver who drove me to the airport today. And you know, my daughter, she sort of said, why in the world would anybody want you to speak on this? And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you'll work with anybody. You'll just get the job done. You don't care who it is. And I thought at that moment, I said, wow, she really has no conception as to what being a sort of a working mom in this sort of industry sort of entails, because I've never sort of brought that home. And my husband, he was very sweet. He sort of said, Well, help me understand, what are gender biases, or as we'll refer to them, tendencies? And I sort of thought at that moment, wow, you know, this is really a great opportunity to, number one, shed light on some tendencies that are, you'll see sort of throughout our presentation, diminishing the opportunities for women to be successful in where they've chosen to invest their time and energies. So that's sort of what brought me here this afternoon. And speaking,
your legal department,
yeah. Yeah, speaking in terms of J&J, where I support business development. For 10 years or so, I supported the medical device business development team, and more recently, the last 7 or so years, I've supported consumer. We have a smaller group of firms that do business development deals for us, and I've been pleasantly, I say, surprised with the number of women that have become part of those, become fixtures, I'll say, on those teams. And we don't, as a law department, set concrete metrics for how many, you know, representatives must be on a team, but we strongly encourage our legal teams to create a team that supports us, that reflects who we are as a company.